Welcome to the Echo Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, good morning. You can, it's a pretty weak clap. Nah, it's joking. Yeah, I just needed it. Nah, it's okay. Good to see ya. Hello. So good. How good's new life? Love it. All good. We had a great time away. We try and plan before we do anything, before our work schedules. We try and plan our family time because that's the most important thing. So we work and plan really hard for time after Easter and then later in October. So we just had a special time with the kids and now we need a holiday. So if anyone wants to look after them for a week, that would be very great. it was great. Special time. It was funny, on the way home, we've flown a little bit back and forward this year, and then we're away in another couple of weeks. We're doing a conference. It's weird. In Townsville in 3 weeks. So we're going back up there at a great church. We met with the pastors, and it's going to be a good time encouraging them. But we were flying back, and I recognised the air hostess from a flight that we were on, because my memory's weird and I just remember people. It's like a photographic memory. So Jude went to the toilet like 14 times and I went 9. Nah. just a fun, crazy time, flight. And then went up to the air hostess. I said, "Hey, you look really familiar." And she goes, "Oh, okay." I said, "Yeah, I think we had you on our flight like 3 weeks ago. And there's lots of air hostesses around, isn't there? There's like all over the country." And then she goes, "Oh, yeah, I recognize you guys." She said, I always remember good-looking, funny, bald guys. And I thought, well, that's a little inappropriate. But I told Lee, and she's like, "Again?" I'm like, "Yeah, again." So it's very frustrating. So I'm just trying to mind. Anyway, that did not happen. But she did remember us. So that was fun. I'm going to change gears. It might not be a slow change. I think we'll just plummet. Is that okay? It'll definitely be a plummet. Are you ready for the plummet? I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but most of the news that we hear isn't good. Yeah? It's actually the statistics are that 90% of the news that we hear is negative and bad. And it just feels like it's just one thing after another. I mean, these guys surfing in Mexico, I'm like, far out. The levels and layers to that for them, for family. And I'm like, okay, well, the week before that, we got Bondi. And then the week before that, we've got natural disasters and two significant wars happening. And there's just so much going on. Bad news. So much. And it's hard to entertain. It's hard to embrace. It's hard to hear. And because the average person is on social media 2 hours and 43 minutes every day, and because 90% of the news that we hear is negative, we've got choices to make throughout the day. Because we've got these moments here of great encounter and great connection, and the Lord is doing something in the room today that's significant. It's a tipping point morning for so many people in this room. But I've just been contemplating this news deal, this bad news deal. So we're on the social media 2,043 minutes on average. Some people are on it more. You know who you are. Actually, a light will appear above your head right now. But approximately 1 in 10 adults check the news every hour. And 90% of the news is bad news. Just a couple of stats for you. I'm not normally a stat guy, but I am today. Sensationalist stories from 95% of the media headline now. Media reports with negative news or statistics catch 30% more attention. 26.7% of people exposed to negative news go on to develop anxiety issues, which is linked to the amount they absorb. 63% of kids aged 12 to 18 say that watching the news makes them feel bad. I'm like, yep, makes me feel bad. So that would make sense. And I was thinking, like, we don't actually have, because the information age has skyrocketed and we have the greatest access to news and information, which is good and bad, than we ever have had before with all generations before us combined. Full on. And we don't actually have, we weren't wired to absorb or have the emotional capacity to hear as much as we are hearing. The only one with the emotional capacity to hear all the negative and bad and horrible, tragic, painful news is God. We were never wired to handle this much. And it's been like this for a very long time. I mean, we had 4,000 years of God moving and speaking, let there be light, and there was light. Let us make man in our image. Breathe the breath into man and created man and woman, gave them choice to make decisions in the middle of decisions. They made some poor choices like we do. Consequence is a big deal in our house. Rewards, consequence, discipline. We're not so much into punishment. We're more into discipline in our house. But consequences are real. Choice is a really big deal. And God's the same with us, loves giving choice. We love giving our children choice in the middle of choices and watching them grow and develop and then coach and encourage and champion them in the way that they should go and what the Lord has for them. But the bad news, the negative news, it's always been around. As I said, let there be light. Let us make man in our image. And hey, guys, you've got choice. And they didn't make great choices. So then we reap the consequence of Adam and Eve's poor choice. And for 4,000 years, we've got God moving, speaking, healing, but lots of bad news. And then them getting used to bad news, but then some good news, and we have different eras throughout the years of people of God rising up and God speaking and moving and touching and healing and encouraging, but then more bad news. And it's like this cycle of some good moments, but mainly bad. And it's like what it still feels like today, with 90% of the news that we hear negative, and then we hear some great news of heroes. In the middle of the tragedy last week, there was heroes that stood up and stepped up and saved lives. And we celebrate that, but that's overshadowed by the negative and the pain and the tragedy of the loss, which is good. But the tension of the good and bad news is something that we wrestle with. And it's always been the case. And Old Testament, for the 4,000 years, that was their thing. And they hit a point where the prophet Malachi was prophesying the last sort of message from the Lord. And he's like, what's going to happen is that one's going to come and he's going to restore the hearts of fathers back to the sons, and the hearts of sons back to the Father. And then after that, there's what is known as the 400 years of silence. So the only understanding and glimpse that we can get from that time is through history and historical documents, because there's no canon, there's no biblical text of that time. 400 years of silence, 10 generations. So they've had bad news, some good moments, but lots of bad news, and then 400 years of silence, 10 generations. And I reckon, I'm like, okay, first generation, I mean, they're encouraged to share history, share what God's like, these names, Yahweh, the great I am, pass them down to generation to generation. Psalm 145. We will pass on the works. It's cultural. But I'm like, okay, first generation, yeah, God's not speaking. I don't know why. I don't have the answer. I'd like to know. Don't have it. But second generation, they're like, cool, yep, okay, you're not speaking, but we've got your word. So they have teachings and prophecies, but they don't have his current voice and presence. So 400 years of silence, 10 generations. And I can handle the first or second sort of hanging in there, but then you move into third and fourth and fifth, and what about the sixth? Like, what sort of news? And we've got, you know, wars and crazy stuff going down, political upheaval, kings, evil kings conquering, and just wild times, bad news. Bad news. So what about the seventh and eighth and ninth generation that's just in this thing of just, we're passing down who God is, but we don't have his voice? I'm like, man, that's challenging. And then it changes. And then we've got, I don't know why it was then, but God's always on time. But there's three angelic visitations, which I never believed, but 22 years after saying yes to Jesus and really didn't know what I was getting myself into, but something was happening in my heart. I don't understand the three angelic visitations. It's hard to comprehend of why he chose that after the 400 years of silence, after the 4,000 years of history with people. But I can kind of understand it to the point that I trust him, because just here this morning and his presence and love overwhelming me to the point that it's beyond intellect and a cognitive, reasonable, sensible understanding of what he is and what he's like. It's deeper, it's wider, it's further, and it's more powerful and special than I could have ever understood or knew. And these three angelic visitations were to Zechariah about the birth of John the Baptist, and then the second one was to Mary announcing, hey, lucky you, lucky you, you're going to be actually the mother of Jesus and give birth to the Savior of the world. But then I'd love to just read the Christmas account that's on your Christmas cards, Luke chapter 2, the third of these angelic visitations of God speaking through angels and really ushering in a new normal of what will be available after 4,000 years of history, Jesus coming and flipping everything on its head. Are you okay? Great. So Luke 2, 8 to 14. We'll just speak for another 90 minutes so that water gets really cold. I'm joking. Maybe another 15 to 40. Nah, 25. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, absolutely. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." Bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news, 400 years of silence, and then this appearing, and the angel says, "I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Not a select few,
not just for those or them, but for all people. I bring you good news of great joy. The gospel is good news of great joy. The good news is Jesus coming and what he accomplished. The good news of great joy is the free gift of salvation, which is available to all people, and the invitation to trade our sinful nature, whose default was expecting bad news, to receiving a brand new nature, whose default is living in great joy. And I'm just amazed at what God's done in my life over the years. And I want to remind you guys today about this good news, about this gospel, about the truth of what Jesus has done and is doing and will do, but what he has done. Because often we can forget and just continue on in life and the machine of church and ministry, and we just get into rituals and routines. But I want to remind you this morning, it's a reminder morning, about who he is and what he's done. Because I don't know about you, but there's just something special that he's doing this morning. And just the story of G's journey over the years, and he's actually highlighted that in a video that we'll show shortly, just is impacting me significantly this morning and reminding me of my journey. It's amazing what happens when you see someone else's journey and then it's reminding you of what the Lord did for me. Like the stirring that takes place. Like, I did not believe in Jesus and now I do. I mean, clearly I'd have to sort of lead a church. But but it's hard to explain. Because as I've been talking to G about it, it's a heart thing. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's not reasonable. It's not sensible. It's beyond knowledge. There's a scripture in Ephesians that says that love surpasses knowledge. We could probably turn that off if that's still on. But bad news has consequences. Bad behavior has consequences. But I love that Jesus knew that we actually were in a mess and were in a cycle of bad news and were in a cycle of bad behavior and were in a cycle of poor choices. And while we were in the middle of it, at our worst, he chose to come and reveal the Father and die for us. And I just want to highlight three things that this good news represents, that this good news is. And number one is we're forgiven and justified. I mean, every person that puts their head on the pillow at night, not every night, would wonder if God's real. There would be a hoping that he is real. And then after those thoughts is, how do I connect? How do I reach out? How do I experience God? Because I know it can't be 90 years. It can't be 70, 60, 90, 100. This can't be it. I know the way that I'm wired, the systems of the body, when I look out, I know it can't be it. But I don't understand, and I can't comprehend, because I'm so accustomed to five sense knowledge. What I see, taste, smell, touch, and hear. That's natural and normal. But then there's this immaterial part of us that can only connect with God, that is screaming for oneness with Him. And we don't know the answers. We don't understand how it works. And Jesus knew this. And He came at the right time to reveal what God was like. And He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We sang it this morning. He was the face of God. He is perfect theology. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And He came so that He could be the sacrifice for your sin, so that you don't have to deal with it when we stand before God. Ha ha! Ha ha! Forgiven and justified. Peace with God, restored back to oneness, which Adam and Eve lost, so the good news of great joy can manifest in our life. And it doesn't deny bad news, man. The first quarter of this year was an absolute stinker. Oh, like shocking. So we don't get removed from stuff and bad news and bad stuff and stuff happening to us and poor choices. But this foundational undergirding thing that has happened to us actually allows us to have peace in the storm and hope in trials. And it's absolutely wrecked us and transformed us. Be reminded of this good news this morning. That He's forgiven you and He's justified you. What has He justified? He's justified you so you can stand before the Father. Oneness. No jumping through hoops. No red tape. The red tape was the red blood. And it poured freely so that you could know Him. And not just intellectually. The cross surpasses knowledge. Love surpasses knowledge. So forgiven and justified. But then the good news also released transformation and being made new. And I'm like, I don't need to be made new. I'm amazing. But then I'm like, oh, actually, yeah, okay. I know what I'm like at my worst and the stuff that I'm feeling and the pain and the uncertainty and the swirl that I'm living in. And I know that I need something, and I think it's You. So just going on this journey of discovering, and just loved hearing G's heart about his journey again a few weeks ago when we were talking through it. And just be reminded of your journey with him and what happened and what was stirred, because you didn't believe. Like the prior you to encountering Jesus would perhaps laugh that you're sitting in a church this morning. But transformed and made new. He didn't just polish us up when we said yes to Jesus and received Him. He made you new. He took your old nature, which was absolutely susceptible to bad choices, bad news, negativity, anxiety, depression, stress, fear, worry, just a mess, and actually removed it and gave you a new nature, and you are now the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Woo, yeah. Good news of great joy for all people, because we were made for oneness. We were made to be one with God, not to be God, but to be one with God. And you know the feeling of oneness when you've experienced it. It's not all about feelings, but feelings are important for our journey. Transformation and being made new. We're on our holiday, and I was up at far FNQ, Far North Queensland, FNQ as they say, and I was baking, listening to some Pearl Jam, as I was pondering the Lord. And no, I wasn't actually, but I was listening to Pearl Jam, and I was looking out, and I saw this butterfly like this big, and I'm talking colours are just wild, all kinds of colours, and I just again I'm just reminded of the metamorphosis process, like the changing form. The when you think about it, it's absolutely ridiculous. A caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Like, and I'm not being silly. I'm utterly shocked that this is a thing. and I crept around to the cocoon because next door neighbour came out. She was a lively one. That sounded negative, didn't it? No, she was. Oh, anyway, I'm in a hole now. She was lively. She was up and about. I was sunbaked, and she's like, "Hey, I'm whatever her name is. I want to show you kids the caterpillars." And I'm like, oh, "Sweet, let's do this." So we walked around the fence, and like there's 10 to 15, all different sizes, like this big, and I'm like, I'm just looking at them going, these are going to be butterflies. And I know it sounds ridiculous even saying this, because of course, yes, caterpillars become butterflies, but wild, it's wild. And the writers of the Bible use this word, Greek word, metamorphosis, which we use today. For transformation, we don't use it today, like I just throw around. I just metamorphose into this new outfit. We don't use it like that, but we understand the principles of the word is what I'm trying to say. But it's wild what happens. And I actually saw a cocoon and saw, for some reason, these weren't wrapped up fully. They were sort of half wrapped, which was weird. Like one of those see-through rolled, the Vietnamese things, you know, rice paper rolls, where you can see what's inside. Yeah, it was weird. It was like, I like them, so I know what they are. But I was looking at it. It wasn't like a fully wrapped cocoon that we know cocoons to be. Oh, we'll finish. And I'm looking at it going, I can see like this colour on the outside a bit. And I'm like, I'm looking at the process. And I'm like, man, this is what has happened to us. And often we don't feel like it because life continues. And that's why we've got to lean into the Lord. And it's not just, yes, Jesus, sweet. But it's like, I'm living life with you because you're in me. And it's a daily thing of encountering him and experiencing and receiving his love. He's not just, love me, sort your life out, follow my rules. It's like, oh, that's not the gospel. That's anti-gospel. Should we follow that? Yeah, because he's God, made it all up, and that would be a good idea. Because he loves you and wants you to thrive in life, not so that he can keep you in line. So there's an invitation to grow and become like him, which is you at your best. So we've been forgiven and justified, and we've been transformed and made new. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus. Yeah. And it's good news of great joy, and it's for all people. Yeah. And finally, we've been commissioned. We were co-crucified with Christ. We were co-buried. We were co-resurrected. And now we've been commissioned. Because he includes us in it all. So he didn't just die for us, he died as us. Whew. So that our sinful nature could be removed forever. Conscience clear, guilt removed, shame removed, freedom and peace is now our portion. And man, it doesn't mean the junk goes away. Because biblical peace is in the middle of chaos. Dictionary peace is the absence of war. So we've been commissioned. Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Pray then like this. How do we pray? Great question. Pray then like this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth that I'm on now talking to you, the earth as it is in heaven. Mark 16 says, and these signs will follow those that believe. They'll heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Wow, it's wild. Yeah, life's wild. the butterfly and cocoon's wild. And caterpillar. Commissioned. So not just watching God move, but included in it, which is part of your thriving in life. The design is not just to save you so that you receive eternal life with him forever. That's a really big one. But it's not. It's part of the story. Because that begins now. So you've been commissioned to carry the gospel, the good news of great joy for all people, to all people. And share what has happened to you, which no one can take away. No one can say, I don't love my wife. Prove it. Well, it's a thing. And actions and choices can show that. And we've got this privilege of showing the world what God is like. Through loving well, through thinking, living, and loving like Jesus, through being him on the earth in heaps of different ways, praying for the sick, but paying for groceries, for helping out people, for encouraging people, for not just being self-absorbed when we go out, but just aware of what's happening, to encourage, to uplift, to want to see what's happened in us happen in them because we know what's happened. So I want to encourage you this morning. The gospel is good news of great joy, and it is for all people. And we have been forgiven, justified, transformed, made new, and commissioned to bring heaven to earth. So that is just great. Thanks. Dad. Hey, I'm going to get up after this, and but we're going to show this video from G, just sharing a bit about his journey. Is that okay?
Hi everyone, it's G. I'm getting baptized today, and I just thought I'd share some of my journey as to how I got here. Because if you had asked me a few years ago if I'd be getting baptized, I would have laughed in your face. So in my late teens, I considered myself a proud atheist, and I had what I would refer to as a parting prayer, where I'd said, I don't believe there's a God, but if there is a God, God cannot expect me to believe another man or a book, and I would need to see God for myself. And God would know that about me, and so God would have to reach me in a way that he knows that I would believe. And sort of ended it at that and continued to live my life as an atheist, accountable to myself. And many years later, I met Jade. And Jade and I had many conversations about God and religion, much to my frustration, and I'm sure Jade's as well. And eventually, when Jade realized that I was not going to go to church and I was not going to read the Bible, she asked me if I would invite the Lord into my heart. And I remember the frustration that I felt and the resistance, but after a few moments of thought, I thought, what's the harm, and I'll do it. And it was probably a couple of days later where I actually sat down and invited the Lord into my heart sincerely, and nothing happened in the moment. But after a while, I started noticing what I call these coincidences, and eventually they became so prevalent that I thought, if I were to be intellectually honest with myself, I probably can't just label them all as coincidences. And I started to lean in a bit more and more regularly invited the Lord into my heart, until eventually one day I had an experience that I refer to as experiencing the grace of God in my heart, and which completely overwhelmed me and overflowed in my heart. and really wanted to bring me to my knees, so to speak, just break down and cry. And it's not something that I experience with anything else when I just randomly talk about something. And I know that the atheist me from 15 years ago would look at this video and not in any way be convinced. So I just feel blessed that I had that experience and I felt that encounter, and it changed me in my heart and not in my head. So I just want to take today to acknowledge God for seeing me under my fig tree, for meeting me where I am, and for entering my heart.